Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Nikola Mercic. He very much has a background in machine learning, having spent more than a decade doing rigorous ML research in Cambridge, and collaborating with the Siri team, working with Apple. He's become a notable expert in the area. Today, he is co-founder and CEO of Poly AI, which is on a mission to empower companies to be the best version of themselves for their customers. Nikola, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start off by understanding the problem. For me and the listeners, let's first steep ourselves in what is the issue and what are the pain points that people have to deal with today?
Look, I think this is very familiar to all, right? You have a problem, right? Maybe your electricity is out, your gas is out, the heating is not on, right? The internet is not working, right? You call a utility company, you call up your telco, right? You're calling about your broadband, or maybe you're calling a restaurant to book or a hotel and no one's picking up, right? You're calling a delivery company to rearrange and you're waiting for a long time. You call someone else and you're dealing with an agent who's just not sure about what to do. They're passing you through left and right. You're speaking with the fourth agent there and you're wondering what's going on. So I think as COVID and onwards, the quality of customer service is just decaying. There's more and more of us and fewer customer service agents. This is like the long and short of it. And with that, the companies that used to be able to spend a certain amount of money to provide really good customer service are no longer able to turn the funding they have into the level of service they want to provide for their customers. And there in the middle, that's where technology comes in.
Okay, and let's get even deeper into that, because this applies to, on the company side, anyone selling any kind of product or service that has any kind of lifespan with its users. And somewhere along the way, someone needs to call. And being able to talk to a human, and I think I know where this is probably going, human is going to be very important. You call up and you're going through some kind of a conversation tree. And then if you're like me, you might shout operator or get me a human. And I want to talk to someone who I can have a back and forth with.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that's what our business was built on, right? We've long believed that you don't need to trick someone into thinking that a machine is a human, but it needs to be good enough to help them forget that they're speaking with a machine. Right? Because the truth is, a caller, your consumer, your customer knows whether you've put effort into them by how well you've trained the human or how much effort you've put in to build an automated workflow that really works for them for the most part, right? So if you've got an AI that can do one of the 40 things that they're calling you about, they're actually going to end up walking away really impressed by the fact that you've actually gone and implemented all that. I've got a gazillion calls I could play where people go, oh, this is like the best AI I've ever spoken with. Kudos to you guys. The first time I heard that, I was like, you know, that's why we do what we do, because it's a really shiny smartphone app or a really good website where, you know, you see it, you use it, and you go, wow, it's a cool company. It's a cool brand. They've invested into themselves. They've invested into me as their buyer, someone spending money with them, right? So when you can tell that they've done a good job, you just know, and you think of them, and you spend more money with them. It's a positive reinforcement loop, right? And equally, you know, if the human or an AI on the other side has not been invested in, a human may be new on the job. Maybe it's a BPO where they're bringing people in every week because the attrition is high and they're not paying enough to keep people, right? That's as bad as an AI that's been built to be robotic. And then it's, sorry, I didn't get that. Can you repeat? Sorry, I didn't get that. And then your reaction follows, right? Because you don't want that experience. You want a better experience. So I think as we lean in and realize that AI will be as good and often better than humans, there's still a level of like, just how much has that brand done to invest in either a human estate or an AI estate? And you'll make different decisions around either. But I think we're needlessly fixated on whether it's human or AI. And it's just, have they set up their CX offering in a way that is worthy of your business, right, as a consumer?
And now let's go into your solution. So the way that a user interacts with your solution is that on the product side or the product or service company, they've said, hey, let's install Poly AI as a customer service agent. And then when customers need help, they are now interacting with AI through some kind of touch point, either on the website or on the phone. So how does that kind of come together?
Yeah, look, I think you have a good automated experience when people don't really have to think about whether it's automated or not, right? So they follow the workflow that they always have, right? So like for the consumer, they call the 1-800 number or they're on the website. If they're going to use web chat, they just chat to the brand and something responds. With chat, you don't really know ever if it's human or not, right? With a voice agent, increasingly, you won't know. Many of our end callers don't really know that they're speaking with AI. And that's okay. We never hide it. If you ask, we'll come clean immediately. And in many jurisdictions where we're legally obliged to say we're automated, or even if the customer just wants to make sure that this call will be recorded for training quality purposes and will initially be handled by Nicola, Poly AI's voice agent, ringtone, ringtone, Nicola, the AI picks up. That's cool, right? That works, right? I don't think that you need to add extra friction, or not a lot of it for sure, right, into that experience. But for the one deploying it, is deploying technology like anything. The first time an airline had to build a website to tell people that one day you'll be buying all of these plane tickets online, that's a daunting thing, right? That must have been like one hell of a thing to get people to buy into. And yet they did. And now we all do it. And now it's like the simplest thing in the world, right? So I think like with the world accelerating in technology the way it is, like this whole just buying into trying out new things, we see a greater willingness than ever before.
Yeah. Now, with your solution, do you have specific characters with names? Can a person mimic themselves if they say, hey, I'm the founder, I want them to hear my voice? Is that a thing that you offer? Or is it just fulfilling the simple task of, I want a call center, the equivalent of a call center, and I want to have people available 24 hours to answer questions about this widget that I'm selling?
Well, it's not really like, yeah, no, it's not a widget you're selling. It's like usually if you're working with us, you're a large enterprise, right? And you have a
Gotcha.
complex center with a big onboarding manual, and there's a lot of things that you need to figure out. And some of these things you figured out, and other things you're training people how to do badly, and you're training AI badly, right? So if you have good training materials, the AI can do pretty much as well as a human. Sometimes the AI will highlight to you more quickly where you've done things badly or you have a contradictory pieces of information, right? But really, no, it doesn't have to be simple tasks. It can be very complicated. It's just a matter of what do you have the tools to implement? Because one part is supporting the conversation. That's what I've done my whole life in terms of building these models and caring for them. That's just the ability to build, right, a thing that can hold that conversation. The other piece is what can it do, right? Can it actually go and update your reservation? Can it go and change your booking or check your bank transactions, right? So for that, there is like a whole big piece of the back end where what can it do? What can humans do, right? If you can get the AI the same access as humans, it can do the same thing, right? Sometimes it may understand better or think faster than a human. In other cases, it may struggle with, I don't know, my accent more than a human would, or maybe it would struggle less, right? So really, like at this point, you've got like true diversity in that contact center and that you've got like humans of all kinds, and you've got AI that can do different things, and they're all agents with just different properties. Some are better at this, some are better in that. Some fail comically, like AI in some cases where you just don't prepare them in the right way, but it works, right? And it's up to you to determine where the level of investment, you know, and they're like ongoing recurring costs that are lower than human labor. Where is it worth the upfront cost of you figuring it all out and setting up that application? Because you don't build a smartphone app for every single thing. Sometimes you go, very small percentages of my customers call me about this, say British Airways, right? I'm a very loyal user of British of BA, right? And if you have an infant, so a kid under two, where you want them to get their own seat, you have to call to book for that, right? That could have been implemented on the website. Like, it's not impossible for sure. But I think that the number of people doing it versus whatever had to happen, and a God knows what compliance burden or God knows what else in the background is making it difficult to implement. Or maybe it's not difficult, maybe it's just infrequent. An infrequent request relative to what they were being quoted to build the whole thing made it low in the priority list. And they just go, you know what? just call the contact center and we'll figure it out. So the contact center is a balance between things that are very numerous and you could automate, but people don't want to self-serve, say online in an app, on the browser, and you build the path and yet they do it anyway. And then those things that you might have decided to handle with OPEX, with continuous human labor, because you don't want to build up the technology. And it's a pure kind of CapEx to build it versus the probability that it gets heavy adoption and how much it saves long term. And where is that in your list of priorities as a company? Because you can only do so many things at a time.
It really seems like one of the major areas of value that you're offering, listening to what you're saying, is that it might be that on the website that I've got maybe 10 or 20 use cases that we've thought through and the team has built out drop downs and widgets and things like that. But then you have to call for the special stuff. And if I have a bot that's read through the thousands of pages of PDF documents we have in the company, it knows our policy, it can flexibly go through that knowledge and just deliver what people need to know.
Totally. And I mean, if you think about it, like many of the times in a contact center, the human does precisely that, right? If you call about, I don't know, complex catalog of products, right? And I don't know, we're answering questions about drills and there's 300 models, right? Like you and I won't know the difference, even if we're very familiar, right? So we'll go, oh, what's your reference code? Click, click, manual that looks the same maybe for all of them. You read, okay, for drilling through wood, you need these kind of heads for the drill. And you read it, you think about it, you explain it. An AI can do the same. So it's really just about the supporting information that feeds humans or AI, right? And sometimes for AI, you have to be very careful about how you assemble that information, how you present it back to the model. And for humans, you have to do the same thing, right? Now, if you're an existing business, you've already done it for humans. So for AI, you're going to have to do some more work. And then you have to build processes inside your business so that you're continuously making sure that those things get updated when they change. And that's yet another workflow that you're adding inside your enterprise. Is it worth it? It is if you get enough of these calls. Like it's the business of continuous digital transformation. You could always do more of it to create a better, more connected business. So I think it's for businesses just to realize, hey, this is actually a big opportunity. Where does it make sense versus places where it might not?
Yeah, I'm on your website right now, Poly AI. Everybody check it out. It's poly.ai. And the big tagline on there is make every customer feel heard instantly. It says, I think I scrolled past it. It says somewhere on here, the most lifelike AI. And that is important. You talked about earlier, it's not about fooling people. It's about just plugging into what feels natural to folks. We've got our sort of evolved framework for how we relate to and talk to other people. And if you can have a machine deliver the information to people in the same way, then you get a lot of benefit from that. Now, this is an emerging space that I've seen. I've interviewed folks. I've talked to folks who are in this space. What's your differentiator?
Yeah, look, I think we've always been very heavy on the UX piece and just creating a really lifelike experience. We've for years now worked on creating really kind of like a thing that is able to represent a brand in a way that like sounds like their best agent, right? And the company is what they like really invest in. So for us, it's always been about like representing that brand voice, deep understanding, the ability to be empathetic, right? To change your tone depending on the situation. If it's a call about inheritance and bereavement, you're going to be somber and slower and you're really going to pay attention to that. If you're telling someone they want $100,000, then you're going to get a lot happier. So all these things are how humans would behave, right? And how you would want your best human to behave. So for us, it's always really been about like kind of like capturing that spirit of the best agent in the contact center and making sure that it finds its representation with AI. And then apart from that, we've always really been willing to roll up our sleeves and work on that business of transformation that I talked about a minute ago, where it's really about companies don't do this at scale. It's not like you live in a world where every company you call has a decent AI agent. That's not the world just yet. It's happening very quickly. We're killing ourselves to make it happen real fast. But it's not the world, like most people when they interact with AI on the phone, just immediately expect they're going to have a really bad experience. And they try to like circumvent it however they can, from screaming for an agent, from swearing to saying, ah, heart attack, heart attack. So it's not something that has a legacy of good experiences. So there you have to poke and be like, okay, I can pass you through. Who do you want to, like, just tell me where, what the call is about so I can help you. And then they go, I want a refund. Oh, cool. I found your package here. And is this the two kids t-shirts for H2, like with Peppa Pig on them? You go, yeah. Well, you want to return them? Yeah. Okay. I'll send you a voucher with a QR code to print and put it on. Oh, okay. Thank you. And that's like surprising. They don't expect it's going to work. They're bracing themselves for a cold that's going to take longer than they wanted to. They're questioning whether they should have called in the first place. And it's on you to surprise them and to exceed their expectations. Because when you're behind, you have to like do incredible things to buy yourselves back. Right. So for AI, like it has a legacy of very bad IVR experiences on the phone, where if you're going to get people to change their mind, you better do really well. You better be better than the best human, right? In that case, we look for places where we're able to do this. And then as a company, we really lean into challenging our customers to think like more ambitiously about what this AI could be. Because if they do just like the run rate thing that answers a few questions and does one workflow, that's boring. Like that you could have done that with the previous generation of this technology if you had put enough work in, right? Now we want them to do things that they felt were impossible, right? Because if they're picking up every phone call any time of day or night in 10 different languages, and then like they're going further to delight people, to present them with options they might not have heard, look, that then becomes like a competitive differentiator for the company that deployed AI. And only that will get the world to really buy into it as a good thing for the world, especially in this age of everyone being afraid of AI and what it will do to our society.
Yeah, this is really exciting stuff. And I'm noticing from exploring your website right now, looking around at some of the different use cases, you've got a requested demo. Do you see your company becoming like fully self-serve at any point in the future? Is that desirable? Is it realistic? Where someone just goes to the website, they just get started today, and it's a completely just self-running engine. Is that something?
We have that, right? Now we're
Okay.
not open. It's not open. And that's been like one of the biggest dilemmas we've had on the product forever. Because if you open it up for people, have you built a thing that just guides them to creating Apple-like experiences that are like really good? Or are they just going to contribute to peppering the world with really bad voice automation? And while we have tools that allow us to do it and allow many of our partners to do it, and we carefully onboard them and choose them and select them, and there's a big waiting list for our clients where I promise you that if we had partners or PLG, that many would be using it. We don't see ourselves as ready just yet to think that we have people at scale delivering experiences even 70% as good as our own just yet. And that really is like a product roadmap item then. Like, how do we build that into the platform so that people don't create terrible voice experiences? And every year there's a discussion. There were two times that we almost opened it up and decided not to. I suspect we'll have many of those checkpoints in the future, and at some point we'll probably end up opening it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Nikola Mirchich of Poly.ai. How can folks get started? I think it's obvious. Poly.ai, and check around at what use cases match you the best.
Yeah, thank
And check out Nikola. Where can folks find you? Are you active on LinkedIn?
I'm active on LinkedIn or Nicola Poly.ai, Nicola with a K. A C will work as well because I've got that alias too. But it is, yeah, the most common Serbian name. So Nicola Poly.ai.
Awesome. Really exciting stuff. Cutting edge of the future. Nikola, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.